Good news out of Orlando, Florida.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio.
Two tight ends on the field for the Patriots on first down. The handoff comes to no one. Brady with the football in his hand. Fires down the field. Wide open. Thank you. Touchdown. Wes Welker.
What a beautiful play and beautifully executed. All alone in the middle of the field.
That was like stealing.
Here to break down this week's game live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, the man everyone loves, especially the quarterback.
I love Pete. I always appreciate Pete.
Pete Shepherd.
And welcome, everybody, to the Thursday edition of the Pete Shepherd Show, final show of the week. And, man, we got a monster show lined up for you today, starting off with the legendary Brian Lowe in the fantasy, Patriot Fantasy Football Lowdown. He's going to tell you all the teams lined up, waiting, drawing straws to get Donovan McNabb for this week's fantasy. We'll tell you if anybody, as we speak, 10 more quarterbacks just went down. Yeah. But we'll get into that. Also coming up today, we'll do fantasy football talk in the first hour. Then coming up in the at 5:30, Terry Hart Tribune, Colts beat writer Tom James will join us. And we'll see if Peyton Manning will ever play football again. He had some x-rays yesterday and all that stuff. And we'll get his take on what happens. But it's very difficult to talk to Indianapolis. I talked to the AFC South guy from ESPN yesterday. And they just have this just kiss-ass attitude towards Polian and the Colts and refuse to recognize the fact that he basically destroyed this team or put all his eggs in one basket in Peyton Manning and are just not able to adjust and did not build for depth. And now they're screwed. And you can't tell me that if Bill Belichick wasn't coaching that Indianapolis Colts team that they wouldn't be at least 500. Well, there's still talented players on that team.
Yeah, I mean, you can put all your eggs in the Peyton Manning basket and still have yourself protected at backup quarterback. I mean, the Patriots have a lot of eggs in the Tom Brady basket, not the same number of dollars in salary cap space, but they took Matt Cassel and they developed him. You can't tell me that they couldn't have done a better job at the backup quarterback position. They come in here, they've got Kerry Collins off the street. They've got Curtis Painter, who obviously was not prepared to be an NFL quarterback. And now you're turning to Dan Orlovsky, who already has been a part of an 0-16 team. What is the difference?
He made a difference.
Yeah. What is the difference between the Colts of 2010 and the Colts of 2011? Peyton Manning and what, a few other spare parts?
And how does Jim Caldwell still have a job? You talk about all these people. How does he have it? What does it say about him?
Right.
It started off with coaching, you know, Castillo being, you know, ridiculous. And all that crap.
And now they fire the defensive coordinator. They make a quarterback change. It's the coach. They're going to need a new coach to come in with Andrew Luck next year and take on a new era of the Colts because what a travesty. What a travesty is going on there.
It really is. It tells you about coaching. I mean, Belichick loses Brady in 2008. Here comes Matt Cassel with hardly any college experience at all, despite coming from a prestigious program.
Yep.
Steps right onto the field. Okay. Took him a while, but got going. Last 4 or 5 weeks of the season was playing as well as any quarterback in the league.
Yep.
During that stretch. He just got screwed by Brett Favre for not winning a game against Miami at home. Otherwise, they would have been in the playoffs against Pittsburgh, which would have been interesting. But what does that tell you? How the Patriots have built their organization, for depth, and Napoleon just, to me, just will never get it. I mean, he thinks he's as good as it is around here. It's not even close.
And they've squandered opportunities in past years, too. I mean, but this is so glaring. I mean, it's just, it shouldn't be that difficult to develop a quarterback. First of all, you know, take a quarterback. At least, see, the Patriots have missed on some quarterbacks in the draft, like Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, first and foremost, you know, Rohan Davey was a fourth-round pick, I think, and he was, you know, maybe a serviceable backup for a couple years. Don't be afraid to take a quarterback in the third, fourth, fifth round at some point during the Peyton Manning era and groom him.
Mm-hmm.
And if it turns out after 2 or 3 years that he doesn't get the opportunity and he's a good enough quarterback, you should be able to deal him for another mid-round pick. But what if they draft? That is their problem. That has been the problem. They haven't developed a backup quarterback to step in a situation like this. The Patriots did. And it tells you a lot. It tells you what you need to know.
Well, now that we get off our soapbox about that, we'll get to the fantasy stuff. But it's interesting. Let's keep it in the AFC South because I wasn't a big Liner fan. I told you last week I wasn't, and he lasted 10 seconds before he went down.
And I was a fan. It's all relative, but I was
compared
a fan
to who's left.
Oh boy,
you're going to be a big fan. I mean, Yates is probably going to start again. Jake Delhomme. I mean, he's not going to play this week, but Jake Delhomme is your answer. And let's start with tonight's game, which I think is kind of fascinating in a lot of ways. It's Philadelphia at Seattle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't even begin to predict what is going to happen in this game because I have no idea what Eagles team mentally is going to show up in this game.
Well,
and there's a lot of good fantasy players for this game.
Yeah, well, most importantly, the most important news right now is LeSean McCoy, who is going to be a game-time decision. So if you have LeSean McCoy on your fantasy team, and I have him in one of mine, and he has all but carried that team, with the exception of last week, which I was able to win anyways, even though he didn't do much. He scored a touchdown, though. He is a legit game-time decision with a sprained toe. So you've got to be aware. You've got to be in front of a computer tonight in the 6:30, 6:45, 7 o'clock range. If those inactives come out, you better be prepared to move LeSean McCoy to your bench, and you better have someone else in there. I'm going to be in front of a computer. I can't afford.
And let's remind people, there is a game. Remember, there is a game tonight, one game in the NFL Network. So you got to get all your
Eagles.
Got to get it done.
And it should be, if healthy, and if the Eagles haven't quit, this should be a pretty good matchup for LeSean McCoy. If he's not, if he is active, you've got to start him, I think, because he's LeSean McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to wonder, is he going to be limited? What kind of role is he going to have? So definitely a situation to watch over the next couple of hours. But I'm with you. We don't know. I think we know what the Philadelphia Eagles of 2011 are made of. But now we're going to see if they have just decided to quit on the season. And I think it's possible because you start, you know, there's tenuous relationships with some stars and the coach.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a completely underachieving team. You've got a team that's playing lousy. I mean, what an embarrassment that was for them at home. You got fire Andy Chance at home. So as far as a fantasy perspective, you still like to think that there's enough players who have, even if it's only because of personal reasons that they want to play well, don't you think DeSean Jackson, even if he doesn't care one iota about the Philadelphia Eagles, and maybe he knows his long-term future is not with the Eagles, doesn't he have personal reasons, selfish reasons, to come out and play like he means it?
Well, you would think that whole team would want to be. How about pride for being a professional athlete?
Exactly.
I mean,
and
they should all be have that mentality.
And that's what we don't know about some of these players in the Eagles. Mm. You know, DeSean Jackson should be a good fantasy performer tonight. LeSean McCoy should too. Brent Celek, I think, really should be. And then you've got lower tier guys like Jason Avant, Riley Cooper, since Jeremy Maclin is out, and even Vince Young. I mean, Vince Young, fantasy wise, last week, I mean, I thought he had a dreadful game, but fantasy-wise, he had 400 yards and a touchdown. You know, he had two touchdowns. So he should have a good performance tonight, fantasy-wise. So there's a lot of fantasy implications. I think Marshawn Lynch has a chance.
But except for this, though, let's bet one quick devil's advocate play on Young is that he got a bunch of those yards, much of it, late in the game when they were down by three touchdowns. Now, how Seattle going to jump out to a three touchdown? Maybe.
Maybe not.
But I doubt it. I think that game
McCoy,
probably is going to be a lot closer, and he may not be able to get those kind of garbage numbers. And he did not get a first down. The Eagles did not get a first down in that game until late in the third quarter.
A third down conversion.
They got a first down conversion in the first play of the game. But they didn't get a third down conversion until late in the third quarter.
Believe me, I thought he had a dreadful game. Mm-hmm. He had a dreadful game.
But those are kind of games that fantasy number, who cares? You can put up good numbers.
It is unlikely that they'd be down by a ton to Seattle, although who knows? Seattle has had some unusually big performances. If LeSean McCoy is limited, they're going to put the rock in Ronnie Brown's hands a ton, Deion Lewis. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think it should be a pretty good performance fantasy-wise for Vince Young, even if it's not pretty, and even if the Eagles don't play well. And then on the Seattle side, the big thing this week was Sidney Rice going on injured reserve.
Yes.
That kind of came out. That was a bit of a surprise.
Probably our first question, too.
Is that right? We'll be getting to that.
And
so that means, I'm not a fan of the Seattle passing game.
Why?
Unless
they're playing in the Giants in New York,
right.
I mean.
That's right. Oh, don't tell me about that one. That knocked me out of a knockout league this year. Tavares and Jackson, those are the two reasons. However, Doug Baldwin and Ben Obomanu, these no-names, have been getting some targets, and they've had some decent production. So those are a couple guys I don't advise starting them, but guys to pick up because they've been getting some targets. So definitely some interesting storylines.
There is. And can't even say it. And then there's I still can't believe. I sat there, and this is the last little soapbox thing I'll get in with you before we get to all the questions lined up. But I sat there and afterwards watched some of the San Diego-Denver game. It was around the same time as the Patriots, so I didn't get to see a lot of it, but went back and watched a whole bunch of highlights. I sit there and watch them blow another 10-0 lead, San Diego, North Turner, stupid decisions, I'm pulling my hair out of my head going, how we're going to have to hear another week of this garbage with this guy rushing the ball 22 times. We're talking about, you know, our Lord and Savior Tebow and or some of you out there. 22. It's gonna come. I'm telling you, when it comes, it's gonna come to a crashing halt. And what I hope doesn't happen, believe it or not, as much as I don't respect him as a quarterback, I respect him as an NFL player. I hope he does not become seriously injured, because I think that's the road he's headed to. If they keep rushing the ball 22 times a game, he's going to get killed.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with quarterbacks who run is the wear and tear that they take. And you're absolutely right. I mean, look at running backs. Running backs don't last.
3.5 years average.
Yeah, running backs don't last. And even, you know, within a given season, they carry the ball 20, 25 times a game. It just don't last. They're going to miss games here and there. So you're absolutely right about that. We're going to be hearing a lot of Tebow in a couple weeks.
Oh, I can't wait. And it'll be interesting to see. And I was talking to Brian Scalabrino before. He was there for a while ago. He thinks that game is going to get flexed to, and we've talked about it too. My only thing is, will CBS does have some say? Will they allow it? Now they can. I don't know how many games they blocked this year already. I'm not sure. I think you're allowed 3 or 4.
I don't know what the rules are, but
I would think they would go balls to the wall to make sure that game stays on CBS at 4:15. Because what other bigger game they're going to have the rest of the year?
Well, to me, it all depends on CBS being able to block it, because if CBS, and I don't know the rules, maybe they, I have no idea how many they've blocked, how many they can block, but the current Sunday night game right now is Baltimore-San Diego, so you figure NBC definitely would want that game, a chance to put Tebow.
And they lost the Patriots this Sunday night,
so maybe that comes
into play. I'm not sure the technicalities of the broadcast rights and all that, but.
And don't forget, the Broncos are in the playoff hunt.
Yeah.
Right now, they're one game behind Oakland, so conceivably, they could go into that at the next Monday is the day they have to make that announcement.
Yep.
So it's after this weekend's game. They could be tied for the division lead at the time that decision has to be made. So I think it all comes down to CBS's ability to block. That's really it.
All right, let's get to our first question here. It's from Lynn says, hey, Pete Bielo, it's been a great year for my fantasy teams. I have Jimmy Graham in all my leagues. So things have gone like Mike.
went well Monday night.
So things have gone really well. In one of my leagues, I can't find the right flex guy, and I'm fighting for a first-round bye this week. I have Crabtree, Roy Helu, Eric Decker, Sidney Rice. I heard Rice went on IR, so who do I use this week and in the playoffs? Thanks.
Well, Roy Helu, like it has been for the Washington running game, running back situation, is just such a wild card. He had a massive game last week, an enormous game. And I would say you play him this week and take your chances. It's just that it's so hard to figure out what Mike Shanahan is doing with that running game. It looks like Helu is the guy, and it wouldn't make sense for Shanahan to bench Helu or to start giving Terrain more carries and all that. I would definitely go with Helu. You're right, Sidney Rice is on IR. That's an easy cut for you. Bring in someone else. I actually do like Michael Crabtree quite a bit. I think he's a guy worth hanging on to, although I'd still start Helu this week.
I love Helu against the Jets. That Jets run defense is not what it was.
That's true. So I like Helu. Now, as far as Decker goes, it's very interesting. You would, on the surface, you'd say, any wide receiver in the Denver Broncos is a must-sit. They throw the ball, 10 times a game? But Decker's been getting touchdowns. The few times that Tebow throws the ball and he's been throwing it deep, he's going to Decker. So there's a little bit of home run threat there with Decker, even still. So I would rank them right now, Helu, Decker, Crabtree. Definitely Helu this week. But I think all three of those are interesting guys to keep over the course of these next few weeks, play it week to week. You have to monitor the Washington running game situation, because it's hard to figure, although he loses the hot hand right now. But I do think, depending on matchups, Crabtree or Decker could be decent plays at the flex spot.
All right, what else? Let's see, we get a lot more ready. Let's see. And again, email us, webradio@patriots.com. Email us, webradio@patriots.com. If you want to call in, 508-298-0398. I know a couple of you already posted some messages on my Facebook page about fantasy. I'll get to that as well. Todd in Jacksonville says, hey, Bielo and Pete, I have a few decisions this week I'm struggling with. please help me set my lineup. This is a 1 point per reception league. Here are my locks for starters this week. Ray Rice, Greg Jennings, Victor Cruz, Jason Witten, San Francisco D. My struggles. Quarterback, Stafford versus, let's start, we'll go one at a time here. Yeah. Stafford versus Green Bay or Palmer versus Miami?
Well, I would certainly lean towards Stafford. You know, teams have been able to, Stafford versus Green Bay, they just played Detroit-Green Bay. That can't be right.
No.
Who is Detroit?
Detroit is playing, the Green Bay is playing the Giants.
Yeah,
and Detroit
Detroit's
is
at New Orleans.
New Orleans, yeah. That's what he means. Probably a
so he probably means New Orleans, because Palmer against Miami.
Yeah.
I think it's Stafford, as long as he's healthy. Palmer is, Yeah, I was high on him a couple weeks ago. I still think he's going to get some yardage and all that. Miami's been playing better. They actually played pretty well defensively against Dallas. I would go with Stafford against New Orleans.
Yeah, they played defensively well against Dallas, but that was Dallas just sleepwalking
right.
through
no,
that
that's,
game.
That's true too. But yeah. I would still go with Stafford yep. in that one there.
Now that's interesting though. That's tough. Well, I mean, New Orleans gives up a lot of points. A lot of net yards like Green Bay does,
yeah,
like the Patriots
exactly.
do. So
exactly, and it's Calvin Johnson too. It's Calvin Johnson.
Second part of that question: running back two, Steven Jackson versus San Fran. Parenthesis, he says he hates this matchup. Spiller versus Tennessee, or Mo Morris versus Nolans.
Well, and especially if he has San Fran D, I'm not sure if he wants to go. Yeah. I really don't like the Steven Jackson matchup either. He just needs one here. Spiller is not impressing me, although. Would he have one breakout? I think he had a little bit last week. He had some stats. What were his stats? I think he did okay.
Yeah.
Maurice Morris, I would say definitely if Kevin Smith doesn't play, although even with that injury he had on Thanksgiving, it looks like he's been practicing. It looks like he's going to play. So if Smith plays, I'd rule out Maurice Morris. I don't like the Steven Jackson matchup one bit. San Francisco still has not allowed a rushing touchdown.
Yeah.
Ray Rice was at the goal line the other day, or Thanksgiving Day. Mm-hmm. They did not allow a touchdown. There's something to that. I don't like the Steven Jackson matchup. I think I'm going to go Spiller. I'm not wild about that, but I think I'd go Spiller of those three. But Maurice Morris would be the guy if Smith is ruled out.
The third part of that question, flex, Steven Jackson versus San Fran, Spiller versus Tennessee, Mo Morris versus New Orleans, Vincent Jackson versus Jacksonville, or Santana Moss versus the Jets.
Well, you probably have to go with Vincent Jackson there. He's
which Phillip Rivers will show up is the question.
Well, that's a great question, but there's still, he's still one of the best receivers in the game, and I know, he's saying his locks are Greg Jennings and Victor Cruz, and I would agree with that, but no question among those five possibilities of flex, it would be Vincent Jackson. No question about that.
All right, let's move right along here, and again, email us at webradiopatriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. And this is from Craig. He says, hi, guys, who would you start? Please pick two running backs and one flex. Willis McGahee, Toby Gerhardt, Mike Tolbert. And then Julio Jones, Plaxico Burress, Michael Crabtree, Lauren Robinson. I'm assuming Peterson will not play this week. I have him on the bench. Thanks
for
your help.
Well, two running backs there. It would definitely be McGahee. And between Gerhardt and Tolbert, yeah, I wasn't wildly impressed with Gerhardt. But, I guess if Peterson does not play, and Minnesota is, where's Minnesota?
Minnesota's home against Denver. Denver, yeah.
Home against Denver. Denver's a pretty good defense. Tolbert, with San Diego, Ryan Matthews had a good game last week, that which surprised me. He was a guy to sit, in my eyes. And they're at Jacksonville. I'd probably go with McGahee and Tolbert, because you figure you might get some, Tolbert. Now, with one flex, Julio Jones, Plaxico Burress, Crabtree, and Laurent Robinson, those are some decent options. Robinson has been on fire.
He has.
And Miles Austin has already been ruled out. I already said I like Crabtree. Burress has been, he's been scoring touchdowns because he's a red zone threat, so you have to like that. Julio Jones, if he plays, is a really good option this week. It's hard to sit Laurent Robinson, isn't it?
Yeah.
At this point. Dallas at Arizona.
I almost tend to go with Burris here, except you can't go with Sanchez at quarterback. You don't know what the hell he's going to do. And I think they have a great shot to be upset this weekend in Washington.
Yeah, and Burris, it's not like Burris is getting, 7-8 catches a game. He's getting like 2-4 catches a game. One of them's been a touchdown. That's great. But I think Robinson against Arizona is probably your play. But you got some strong choices there. That's a good, those are some four good options as far as flex, Craig.
Here's Manny in Miami. Good afternoon, Pete and Brian. I got two questions. First is, I heard Dez Bryant will be returning punts, and since I don't get points per special team, should I stay with him or go with Anquan Boldin or Plaxico Burress? My second question will be for matchups Jimmy Graham or Gronkowski. Thanks, Manny. Manny from Miami.
I would still go with Dez Bryant, probably. Those are, again, another one. Boldin has actually had a decent year. I mean, he hasn't been a great play all year, every single week, but he's had a decent year. I still would go with Dez Bryant among those three. Mm-hmm. And same thoughts on Burress. I might not love the matchup this week, and it is Sanchez, but I'd probably go Bryant over Boldin and Burress, all those Bs. And then as far as Graham or Gronkowski, Can you really go wrong?
No.
Can you really go wrong? I mean, you got it. I would say, I mean, Graham had two touchdowns the other night. I mean, that is a complete toss-up.
The only thing I think about this game with the Patriots, I think this might be, believe it or not, when it's all said and done, if not completely balanced, the Patriots actually might run the ball more than throw the ball in this game.
Yeah.
Because Indianapolis is so bad on run defense.
Right.
And this is one of those games for the Patriots that's tricky because they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. They can win 15-0, no one can say, but I think it's going to be more kind of like 30-7, something like that.
Yeah.
I think they're really going to run the ball a lot.
The one factor that might tell me to go Graham over Gronkowski, Sebastian Vollmer is out. Mm-hmm. Is most likely going to be ruled out, which probably means
didn't practice again today.
Didn't practice again.
No.
Reports are he's going to be out for a little while.
Needed the spikes, by the way.
Okay, so just going, the domino effect of that is Nate Solder probably plays right tackle, which probably means he won't be playing his role as a third tight end quite as much, which might mean Rob Gronkowski stays in as a blocker more. I still think he's going to get passes thrown his way. I still think he'll make an impact. But that might be one factor that if you really have the luxury of choosing between Jimmy Graham and Rob Gronkowski, I might go Graham. But Graham is the only guy I would consider playing ahead of Rob Gronkowski this week. If you have Gronkowski and anyone else, it's Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. But if it's Graham and Gronkowski, I might go Graham this week.
Higgy and Hopkinton says, hey, Higgins and Hopkinton here with a few questions. I'm preparing for the following week's playoffs. Playoffs.
They're coming
soon. And I want to get a jump on players. I need a good running back since Peterson is hurt. Should I pick up Roy Helu, D'Angelo Williams, or just take a flyer on Vereen, expecting him to possibly play garbage games in the final weeks? I can tell you Vereen also went on the injury report today as limited. He's a new one.
Well,
as is Danny Woodhead, believe it or not.
Really? Well,
limited, not out, but limited.
I did not need that news to say no, Higgins.
Yeah.
Don't take a flyer on Vereen. Go for Helu. Williams, you know, it's funny with Williams. He has not had huge impact this year. He and Jonathan Stewart, I look at box scores every week, and they both have like 10 to 14 carries every week.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of consistency there, which you don't get from Helu. But right now, today, you got to pick up Helu. And you got to probably play him this week, depending on who your other running backs are. And if you have Peterson, but he's hurt, you probably have a need for a running back. Go get Helu right now and start him this week. D'Angelo Williams is a reasonable number two choice here among your three. And then Vereen is at the very bottom. If it turns out that Vereen gets some time and all that, chalk it up to something you couldn't have predicted.
Yeah.
But don't worry about Vereen most likely the rest of this year.
Then he says, which defense is best for week 14? He's already looking ahead. Don't look ahead. Be like Bella.
Well, if he's already secured a playoff spot.
To tuck away for the playoffs. Patriots versus Washington, Bears versus Denver, Seahawks versus St. Louis, Steelers versus Cleveland. I'd go with number four right off the bat.
Call
McCoy quarterback. I'll take the Steelers.
Yeah, well, the for sure, I would say of those four, it's the Steelers, both because they have a decent defense and that matchup. Seahawks, that matchup is pretty enticing, St. Louis, although I'd still go Steelers. I think the Patriots matchup is decent as well against Washington. I wouldn't go with the Bears in that one. So, yeah, I'm with you, Pete. Steelers would be the one to grab. And without having the Steelers schedule in front of me, I'm pretty sure, actually, you know what? The Steelers play Cleveland twice the rest of the way.
Yeah.
Because I remember looking at Peyton Hillis, who's come back now. But the Cleveland Browns, over the last 5 weeks of the season, play the Steelers twice and the Ravens twice.
And I'm going to tell you a team to be very wary of if you have fantasy football numbers and you're relying on this team's. And I'm going to tell you, I will almost bet my bottom lip that the Baltimore Ravens struggle this week in Cleveland. You watch.
It is
one of those trap games for them, and they have struggled against poor teams all year long.
Sure,
I would be really careful if you're relying on a lot of the Ravens offensively this week. I got a feeling that this is gonna be a tough one of those ugly. If they win, it's gonna be ugly. You know, they played on Thanksgiving night. I know they've had a lot of time. They've had a lot of time to prepare. They're gonna have 10 days to prepare. But that's one I circled as one of those trap games in the NFL. And I'm just saying, this is the kind of game that Flacco has struggled with all year.
Do you know what team has the number one pass defense in the NFL?
Is it Cleveland?
By yards,
net yard.
It's Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah.
Which is incredible.
Yeah.
The Cleveland Browns are the number.
It
also does tell you that those total offense, total passing yards, all that doesn't mean a ton when it comes to standings. But You're right. I think that's a low-scoring, ugly one. That Baltimore should win, but could struggle.
They should win, but Flacco is struggling in those games. Hey, Robin Drake, hey, guys, I'm in a tough spot this weekend. I have Steven Jackson versus the 49ers, who don't give up points, but they're running backs, as you talked about. I haven't given up a rushing touchdown all year. My other options are Brandon Jacobs, DJ Ware, Marshall Reese. I'm debating whether I should just roll with Jackson, who's struggling, but a stud, or start Jacobs or Ware. It's a PPR league, so if the Giants are chasing the Packers in a shootout, Ware could get me a lot of points with screens out of the backfield like he did versus the Saints. What do you think? Thanks,
well,
Robin Drake.
Yeah, you're in a tough spot here because I've said I don't like Steven Jackson this week. There's no question he's the most talented of your four options here. DJ Ware is one of my top sleepers for this week for just those reasons. Bradshaw, most likely out again. Brandon Jacobs is not the same Brandon Jacobs as he was 4 or 5 years ago. And DJ Ware gets a few carries and gets some catches as well. Whether I'd endorse starting DJ Ware in this case, I'm not sure because, you know, it's not like we're talking about should I start Steven Jackson or Roy Helu or something like that. Steven Jackson, I don't like the matchup, but he's still the best running back of your four there. You're going to look at rankings, and he's very low, or he's lower than you would expect Steven Jackson to be. Unfortunately, you might not have much of a choice here because I don't like Jacobs. Reese is a guy to be on the radar screen, but I don't really like him fantasy-wise. Mm-hmm. It would come down to Jackson or Ware to me. You might have to suck it up and go Jackson and hope that this is the week that a running back gets a touchdown against San Francisco. I don't see it happening. But again, I like DJ Ware as a sleeper. But it's just a sleeper, not as a starter.
Yeah. One more quick question before we get to our buddy Poker Mike on the talk, his usual segment with us. Hey, Pete and Brian, I have a couple of questions for you guys. I have two running back slots and three wide receiver slots and one flex spot. My choice is for running back. Take these one. Arian Foster, Maurice Jones-Drew, Darren McFadden, and Michael Bush. Start there.
Well, it's got to be I think it's got to be Foster and Jones-Drew. McFadden's going to be out again. I really like Bush, but I'm not sure that I like him over Foster or Jones-Drew. Mm-hmm. You know, the thing with Jones-Drew, you know, they fired the coach.
New coach this week.
New coach.
But he's got a hand.
But he's Maurice Jones-Drew.
He's the man. I mean,
they have a terrible quarterback. Terrible quarterback situation. They've got, you know, no wide receivers really at all. Mercedes Lewis has been underwhelming. It's all Maurice Jones-Drew. You can't bench him. And Arian Foster he's legit. You know, it was a struggle at the beginning of the year. Poor performances, injuries, and all that. But I would. You got to go Foster, and you got to go Jones-Drew.
And my choices for wide receiver, Wes Welker, Jordy Nelson, Dez Bryant, Roy Williams, Torrey Smith. Which players would you put in those slots this week?
Well, three wide receivers. It's obviously Welker, and it's definitely Dez Bryant to me. So then it comes down to Jordy Nelson, Roy Williams, Torrey Smith. I'd eliminate Roy Williams because it's Caleb Haney, and then, you know, maybe Donovan McNabb lands in Chicago. Who knows? Jordy Nelson or Torrey Smith, you know, I got to go Jordy Nelson. It is still, it's Jordy Nelson catching passes, from Aaron Rodgers. We talked about Baltimore Cleveland just now. Torrey Smith has been, you know, he's an explosive player and I love his future, but his big performances have been few and far between. So I'd go Welker, Nelson, and Bryant for your three wideouts, Jones-Drew and Arian Foster for your running backs. And then as far as the flex, to me, it would be between Torrey Smith and Michael Bush, and probably there is where I'd go Michael Bush. As long as McFadden is out. So I think those are your answers right there, Nate.
All right, again, once again, email us, webradio@patriot.com, webradio@patriot.com. You can Facebook me as well, Pete Shepard, PETESHEPPARD. I'll get to those in a second, but right now our buddy Poker Mike joins us for his little weekly visit. Hey, Mike.
Fellas, how we doing?
Mike, we're doing great. How you
now,
doing?
Now, you should have seen this guy's cartwheels and backflips when Graham was scoring on Monday night. Oh. It was absolutely hysterical. He almost caused, it was right during one of our breaks playing poker when he was not dealing, and how many chairs did you knock over? The food went flying.
I woke the neighbors below.
You could have dunked a basketball the way your vertical leap was unbelievable.
It was impressive.
Is that right? Well, I'll tell you what. I in one of my leagues, I drew Brees, and I had a comfortable lead, not a slam dunk lead, but a comfortable
nice
lead.
Nice garbage touchdown at the end.
comfortable lead going into that night. Yeah. And I think I may have set records for a win differential. Point differential with four touchdown passes, one rushing touchdown. Incredible performance.
Never been done before, I don't think. The four passes and
right?
A rushing touchdown. I think that's the first time that's happened in NFL history.
And no interceptions.
Yeah, and no interceptions. Yeah.
D-Lo, I got a good story with the Breeze also. Pete definitely got a first-hand look of how serious I take this because they literally, the players, we were at the tournament, they didn't know what I was doing.
See, I won the tournament, so I didn't really care, but...
Yeah. And just quickly,
I did actually.
The Jimmy Graham touchdown won me my week, and it locked me in for the playoffs. So the importance of that touchdown was just so huge. But I actually locked up spots in both of my leagues with this past week with wins, which is just
good for you.
Incredible. I've been sipping champagne since Monday.
Good for you.
But in my other league, I had Jimmy Graham going. I was playing against Drew Brees. I was up. What was I up? I was up like 20 points, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have anybody else? Either way you shake it, I wound up winning by 3 points. So I needed I needed Graham to obviously. And that's the funny part about when you have wide receivers or tight ends and you're
going
playing against
the quarterback.
You can't really decipher whether it's good or bad because they trump each other.
They offset,
In the end, the touchdown to Graham just kind of sealed it for me in both leagues. So nice. I have to admit this has been... A very stress-free week of cloud nine for me.
Well, I'll tell you what, and I don't know if you were listening right at the beginning of the show,
yep.
But I'm stressing out and sweating out LeSean McCoy tonight, although NFL Network's Jason LaConfora, I'm reading this on the Internet, reports that McCoy will play tonight, barring a setback.
Yep.
So,
there it is right here, McCoy to start.
So, I'm in a league where I am... I'm on the outside looking in right now as far as the playoffs, although... You know, looking at it, if I win my last 2 weeks and get some help, I can certainly get into the playoffs. And LeSean McCoy is my centerpiece. And obviously, I have LeSean McCoy, LeGarrette Blount, and Roy Helu are my top three running backs right now. And Roy Helu is a week to week proposition.
Right.
But I don't want to have to rely on LeGarrette Blount and Roy Helu being my starters. I like to have Roy Helu as a possible flex guy. So, like a lot of people, I'm sweating out McCoy. So, I'm not like you right now. I still have a lot to live for here.
Well, here's the thing: if it had fallen the other way for me, I would have been in the same position. I needed one win these final 3 weeks. I didn't get it done 2 weeks ago, and I squeaked it out last week. If I hadn't won, I'd be in the same boat. And I jumped on yesterday, and they said McCoy might sit.
Yep.
So obviously, my heart starts pounding. I do not have much of a bench. I think the only guy on my bench, I might not even have anybody. I think Ogbayana or whatever his name was. I think I had him as my fourth because Chris Johnson's my flex.
Yeah.
But it's a scary situation. I kind of got frustrated with it, this Philadelphia ordeal, and going back. I know this all kind of sounds like a broken record. We say that you're praying that your players are still in the hunt, or even on the flip side. Right. You know, a team like Philadelphia that I don't think they're statistically out, but it just feels like they've kind of shut it down. And he's got a toe injury, and I mean, granted, if he's hurt, he's hurt. There's nothing you can do. But this the moral of my story is at the beginning of the season when you draft your players, it goes one of two ways. You're either focusing on obviously your starting lineup and just trying to get as many studs as possible, and your bench. You're either getting a well-rounded team where your starters aren't diesel and you have a decent bench, or you're like me where you had a pretty good, an awesome starting lineup with no bench.
Well,
again, in the end here, it's you can't really decide which way to go, because now if I was fighting for a playoff spot this week, I would be in really bad shape.
Yeah.
You talked about Ronnie Brown earlier. I had to pick him up yesterday. He's on my bench. He's on my team, but not in my lineup, obviously. How can you trust a guy like that moving forward in the playoffs? Let's just pray that this McCoy situation is just nothing, and he's all right moving forward.
But it's true, and I'm sweating out tonight, but I'm also sweating out the rest of the season with McCoy. Let's say McCoy plays a little bit tonight, and they lose, and their season is officially over, and McCoy has a nagging injury.
See ya.
What's the
Why
point
play?
For the Eagles of playing him?
Why
every
play?
Week? You
know,
and so. LeSean McCoy has been one of the top five fantasy players in fantasy football this year.
Yep.
And he is the number, any team that he's on, he's probably the catalyst for that fantasy team. And he might be done. I mean, there stranger things have happened than LeSean McCoy being done for the season after.
I think what is going to be really interesting this week for you guys who need offensive numbers fighting for a playoff spot. I really think you're screwed. You know why? And I'm looking at here's why.
Thanks,
No. Yeah. Here's why. I'm looking at all the matchups this week, and it's such bad quarterback matchups in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I think this might be one of the lower scoring weeks in the NFL, not just for this season, but maybe for the last 4 or 5 years. I know, but think about these matchups coming up this weekend. Philadelphia, Seattle, Buffalo, Tennessee, the Bears and Kansas City. Yeah. What points are you going to get out of that game? Miami, Oakland, possibly. That could be one of the more higher scoring ones. That's
right.
One. Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore. That's low scoring. Yeah. Jets and Washington. That's going to be a joke. No points there. Atlanta, Houston. Another one. Who's going to play quarterback for Houston? Yates?
Yeah. Yep.
Tampa Bay, Carolina. That's another tough one. New Orleans, Detroit. Possibility, but it won't be as many. Minnesota, Denver. What's Tebow going to do? No, nothing. There'll be no points in that game. St. Louis at San Francisco, that's going to be low scoring. Dallas at Arizona, possibly something. Green Bay and the Giants, I don't know what Giants defense is going to show up. That could be a higher scoring game, or, you know, it might be like Green Bay and Detroit and Thanksgiving. And Patriots, Indianapolis, I don't think you're going to get, obviously, any points out of Indianapolis. And then San Diego, Jacksonville,
those are
all low scoring games, in my opinion. I would take the under on every game this week.
Could be an ugly week. Could be an ugly, sloppy week.
Look at the quarterback play again, the matchups you have, unless some of these backups go crazy.
And then you got Roethlisberger, who I'm sure is going to play. He aggravated his thumb injury today. Josh Freeman, shoulder injury. There's a lot of bad quarterbacks out there, a lot of injured quarterbacks, a lot of bad offenses. There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
It's been brutal here.
Yeah.
And again, the injury situation is just painful. You talked about the Houston situation. This is a team that's still winning. They're winning with Leinart got it done last week,
He got it done for 10 seconds.
Right.
Yates came in, they ran the ball, Foster got it done for him.
The point is that with a team like Houston, and we're talking about these QBs going down and having to resort to their backups, it's just the same old tale where Houston is a solid team. All right, they have some weapons, they have Foster, they have Johnson, they have good tight ends. They're probably, you don't see them winning a Super Bowl here, but they're going to compete, all right? They're going to put up some numbers. On the flip side of it, a team like Kansas City that loses Castle, they have to resort to Palco, and look what these guys have done. I mean, granted, there's been some glimpses of Breston and here and there, but Bo's been atrocious. It's just frustrating this year, and I feel like the teams that in the end get it done and win the championships, they just obviously, and this is kind of, I'm speaking just, you know, obvious points here, they just didn't get bitten by the injury bug as much as some of us did.
Yeah.
And it's just been a weird, weird year.
Yeah, no, it's really true. And these injuries, these big injuries, really have a trickle-down effect to, obviously in quarterbacks, have a trickle-down effect to really all the other offensive stars. But, you know, it's complex with fantasy when there's one injury. It can affect a lot of different things. You just hope it isn't to your team at the wrong time.
Yeah.
Well, this is definitely going to be a running back type of week, because if you're relying on a lot of these games, your wide receivers catching touchdowns, I'd be worried. If your wide receivers, your main, point getters this week, I think you're screwed.
Yeah.
And
find
three quarters
a running
of these
back
games,
for flex spots.
Yep.
Find
a
running
back. You said it though, Pete. Like, as far as the running backs go, you guys were just talking about Ray Rice. You know, going up, that's not a great matchup. Very well could be a low scoring game with Cleveland.
No, I think that's one of my upset specials of the week. I think that is going to be an ugly game for Baltimore. They play down to the competition, and I'm sure they're looking ahead. That game could be one of the uglier games of the day.
Which I agree with you completely, but Cleveland's run defense is nowhere near where their
pass defense is number one.
Rice, I think, obviously you're starting him regardless. You can't bench him. He's in line for a pretty good week. We talked about a guy last week, Donald Brown. You know, what do you start Colts this week? And he actually was productive last week. I think I said around 100 yards and a touchdown. He had 80 and a touchdown. He's a guy moving forward that, you know, if you need him in a pinch, I mean, I was sitting listening to you guys talk about this past game. You don't know what to expect. Reggie Wayne had a big week last week. You don't know what this new quarterback is going to bring. So I don't really trust the Colts. I mean, Donald Brown could be somewhat productive if you need him.
Yeah. He'd be one guy I would look in. He had a pretty good week last week. He'd be one guy. He would probably be your best fantasy guy if you're picking anybody from Indy.
Right. Any wide receiver, I mean, that would be a fluke.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, if that would be a fluke if Reggie Wayne or Pierre Garçon, you know, does well, gets a touchdown. You know, I'm not saying start this guy, but, you know, Dallas Clark is out. Jacob Tammy, you never know with a new quarterback if the tight end is kind of the outlet guy and he kind of goes to Jacob Tammy or there's a, you know, a late touchdown or something like that. I'm not saying start him. You got to be desperate at tight end to start Jacob Tammy. You really do have to be desperate to start just about any Colt this week. Don't go picking up Dan Orlovsky. Don't worry about that.
Right. And we weren't in bad shape last week. A couple of the guys that we talked about, I mean, the two that I have written down because I just kind of kept track from last week.
Harvin.
We talked about the Cincinnati situation with Jerome Simpson. B-Lo and myself both liked him. He was a bust.
Yeah.
I talked about Torrey Smith, who's been well overproducing what we thought. He was a bust.
Yeah, but he was a bust again. You talk about against Cleveland, and they have a – they have a habit, even though their record stinks, but they have a way of making everybody look ugly.
Right.
And that was look what Cincinnati had to do to come back and win that game last week.
Right.
You know?
Point being in the end is that, and this, what happened last week, we looked at a guy like Johnny Knox, who you don't even think twice about, had a huge week. Lance Moore, I think he's a guy that gets added and dropped more than anybody in fantasy football because he just alternates, you know, good weeks to bad weeks. And he had a good week. You know, a guy that Brian was talking about earlier, and he kind of stole my thunder because I was sneaking him in as like my start of the week. I think Michael Crabtree, if he's not at least a number two wide receiver that you can put in your lineup confidently, especially this week, you know, they're definitely going to run the ball with Gore and Hunter against this, you know, this St. Louis defense.
Yeah.
But Smith's going to throw that ball around. And as far as Crabtree goes, I got the numbers, I believe, in front of me. I mean, he's been pretty impressive. 13 receptions the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's getting the ball.
Yeah, Brian likes him a lot too.
I'm going to go with him as my star of the week there.
I like, I like Crabtree. You know, he hasn't had these huge monstrous games. He's kind of just been sort of plodding along, a touchdown here and there. But he's a talented guy. Remember, he was a top 10 pick.
Right.
Remember how talented he was, and you wonder if he, you know, if he had a better quarterback, I think he'd be a much better fantasy receiver. Although Smith is having an okay year. But I do like Crabtree. I like Crabtree quite a bit down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, the matchups that stick out, you mentioned, and we focus on these bad defenses. So obviously this Carolina-Tampa Bay game, I mean, you have to assume there's going to be points there. Liking both the running backs.
I don't know.
Last week, I can't really fight with you now.
Tampa,
that's a tough one. That's a tough game to call about getting points.
LeGarrette Blount, bad defenses,
Pete.
Yeah, LeGarrette Blount is the guy in that game. He's been playing really well.
Who
in
will
Carolina
he hurdle this week?
Who will hear? I mean, some of these highlights are unbelievable. Maybe he'll hurdle Darius Butler.
Maybe, yeah.
His points there.
LeGarrette Blount is the guy in that game for sure. Josh Freeman might be out. Not that he's been doing well at all, but, you know, Mike Williams hasn't done a ton.
Well, that's the other. I mean, Freeman is, I'm just thinking about, I see that game does not scream big points to me. I know maybe it may look that way on paper, but it doesn't. It's still got a rookie quarterback. It's still going on the road. Tampa still got a little bit of pride left, and Freeman may not play. I don't know. That's a tricky one. I could be dead wrong, but that's a tricky one.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. These teams can give up points, though.
Yeah.
They can.
Yep.
I mean, the one that sticks out to me the most, and I just don't understand, I mean, obviously looking at them the other night against New Orleans was just kind of painful, but, like, they still put up, you know, Victor Cruz had a huge week. You don't know what's happening in New York with this wide receiver situation. Manningham is banged up.
He might not. He might be done.
Knicks is banged up. So now they're looking at Cruz. What's the deal with Bradshaw?
It sounds like he thinks he can play. Coughlin basically said, hey, until you practice, you're not playing, and he hasn't practiced yet. My guess would be he does not play. That would be my guess. But I don't really like Brandon Jacobs. We were talking about DJ Ware earlier,
right,
who, you know, he's a sleeper. I don't expect him to have a huge game, but between an unsettled running back situation, the fact that he catches passes, you know, if you really need a guy, I mean, he might be a reasonable, you know, maybe a reasonable flex play. I'm not DJ Ware. Mm-hmm. Interesting sleeper this week.
And that's a big game for them too. They're sitting at 6-5. I mean, they're a game behind Dallas. They need to win these games. I don't think they're going to beat Green Bay here. But
tough two game stretch. New Orleans, Green Bay.
Yeah. Well, they've had a tough five game stretch really, Patriots, starting with the Patriots, unfortunately they won that one. But it's just some interesting game. And then let's just get this out of the way and bring up the guy.
Are you going to talk about Tebow?
Yeah, and
I knew you were going
to. Well, I have to. I mean, it's just,
I love him this week, Pete.
I don't. I don't know how you love him in any week. I mean, you take the first 55 minutes out of any game. Again, last week, San Diego should have won that game by 50, and they just let. They just played stupid up by 10. You thought they were going to crush this team. And they didn't, but I'll give them, I mean, if you let Denver hang around because of their defense is playing so well, you know, you got a chance, but I'm telling you what, if he's going to run the ball 22 times again, he's going to get banged. He's not going to make it.
Yeah.
But so far, he's 5, I mean, the Denver defense is 5-1. Tebow's just coming along for the ride, as far as I'm concerned. But for you fantasy guys, he's such a wild card. You just don't know what you're going to get on a week-in, week-out basis.
Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, no. I think Tebow is going to have another – it's going to be another similar game that he's had. Not a ton of passing yardage, but probably one touchdown and no picks, and he's going to continue to run the ball well. They're not going to score more than 14, 17 points in this game, but he is going to be responsible for the points that they score.
Well, they haven't scored more than 17 since he started. However, the defense hasn't given up more than 13.
Well, and in the Jets game, the Thursday night game a couple weeks ago, they had a grand total of three offensive points
that was disgusting.
That last
drive. That was one of the ugliest offensive performances of both sides I've ever seen in my life.
It sure was.
And then Mark Sanchez, you know, should put him in a little parenthesis, forgive the Denver Broncos a win for that game, because that's why they won.
Well, but Tebow, you know, I think it's going to be consistent. I think it's going to be consistent with him. He's not going to have interceptions. He's not going to have a ton of touchdowns, but he's going to run the ball. He's going to have a rushing touchdown every other game. He's going to have a passing touchdown every game, and he's not going to kill you. It's been what I thought it was going to be.
And he's averaging 17 points a week. I mean, I know that's not really super production, but, I mean, I think he's got, like, the lowest interception rate. We do get minus points for interceptions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's not throwing picks.
He doesn't throw picks.
He's not like the sexiest pick, I guess, but I mean, he is. We don't know how. We're watching, you know, the ESPN and SportsCenter, and they're just the negativity that is just around this poor guy.
I don't think it's negativity. I think it's quarterbacks talking about reality. You cannot survive in this league the way Denver is playing on offense. They're getting extremely not lucky because their defense is playing so well against some of these mediocre. I mean, the only team they've worth at beating a damn is, to me, is Houston. They're down 17-0 in that game. I'll give them credit for that. San Diego, I mean, my God, I don't know what Phillip Rivers is smoking or what his problem is or North Turner, but there's a major problem in San Diego. They had no business losing that game last week, and neither did the Jets have any business losing that game either. So, you know, to me, this guy is a stupid Mark Sanchez pick six away and a horribly coached, which should have been a game-winning field goal in overtime for San Diego away from not being 5-1, but being, you know 3-3.
How's the Monday night game this week? San Diego, coach that should be fired, and Jacksonville.
That could be 5-3.
Yep.
That could be 5-3.
That's
you talk about a low-scoring game there, I think. I mean, that's just.
That makes me sick, too, because I have no other choice but to roll with Rivers, and I don't need him this week. But there's just nothing else I can do. I have to just hope that the matchup is right and he just kind of comes along. I'm not even sure who he's got the next couple of weeks, but that's a scary situation also. I'll just throw this to you and I'll let you go. You guys were talking about Vince Young. I think he's available in my league. This is a guy, he's thrown the ball 84 times the past two games. Last week he showed some, you don't throw for 400 yards and not kind of get noticed. Okay, it's impossible. Are they in disarray over there? Do we not know if they're...
you throw for 400 yards when your team is down by three touchdowns in the second half. That's how you throw for 400 yards. He converted one third down. I mean, the first third down conversion he converted was late in the third quarter.
He did not overly impress me. However,
fantasy,
I will say, I mean,
fantasy perspective,
he did have 150 yards passing over those first two drives.
Yeah.
Those were two plays, and I'll tell you, the deep ball to Riley Cooper, the one that Kyle Arrington was right there, that wasn't a bad pass. I was not overall impressed for the 60 minutes of Vince Young. But fantasy-wise, he had an impressive outing, and part of it is garbage time. But that's good fantasy. That's what you want. That's the difference between fantasy and reality football.
I like them both. Yeah.
But with fantasy, that's the way it goes. I mean, Vince Young should have an impressive performance tonight.
Yeah.
He should.
He should. It's just, both these teams are such wild cards that I couldn't tell you what to expect. I wouldn't be surprised if this game was 10-7, nor would I be surprised if it was 35-30. I couldn't begin to tell you how that game is going to go tonight.
Well, hey,
I don't know.
Seattle plays well at home. They've played well. They've come up big against some good teams, which is interesting.
They have.
And I think this is a... This is an appealing game to watch because you just want to see, we don't see the Seattle Seahawks too much on TV, and there's not a whole lot of reason to watch them other than the fact that, they've beaten Baltimore. They've beaten some big, They beat the Giants.
Yeah.
And,
beat Baltimore.
And it is interesting to see what is Philadelphia made of. Mm-hmm. They're not going to the playoffs. What are they made of? What are some of these individual talents made of? Do they show some life tonight?
And there's guys playing in this game that you could have in your lineup. We mentioned Avant. I think he's kind of turning the corner. He may be a number two guy that you could sneak in there.
Yeah.
I actually had Doug Baldwin on my team at one point, just picked him up because he was producing, and then he kind of tailed off. But he's had at least 50 yards receiving 4 out of the 5 past games.
Yep.
Now no Sidney Rice. Obamanu isn't really quite where Baldwin is, but I think Baldwin is definitely a guy that you can play.
Yeah.
So between Vince Young and Baldwin and Avant, those are fantasy players that could get you some production in the playoffs. They could do it for you.
I agree on Avant because Macklin has been ruled out tonight, and Avant had by far the most targets for Vince Young last week. Now, part of that, too, was DeSean Jackson playing so ineffectively that he was benched. But Avant is definitely a worthwhile start.
He's another guy, Brian, that you pick up. He has a good week, you pick up. I don't want to call him. I have players that I put in the fantasy team killer league.
Yeah.
And, Avant's kind of one of those guys where he has a great week, which he just did this past week, eight catches for 100 plus.
But who had him in the lineup?
Nobody. Well, I mean, the percentages, they show it. He's not trusted, and he was probably picked up this week to be played tonight, and granted, we're kind of pushing for him, but he could come out and have a, 2 or 3 catch for, 32-yard night, and we're like, well, I guess that was the wrong decision.
Yeah.
But either way, it's just the matchups, it's time to play matchups, and there's a quarterback that I'm going to kick to you, and well, we talked about Crabtree. If you're in some quarterback help, I know he's not a guy you really want to be confident in, but if the matchup is right this week, but Matt Moore is a pretty sneaky quarterback this week at home against Oakland. Miami's playing all right. He's been so-so, but that's the guy you could rely on if you're in dire straits.
Yeah, he's had some good he's had some games with big, huge numbers recently.
Yep, he actually may be available in my league. I may take a look. We talked about the Carolina running backs. If you have them, flex positions, get them in. Reggie Bush, I mentioned Crabtree. Obviously, Laurent Robinson, we've talked about.
I think about Grossman, too, to be honest with you.
Put him in.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, even Gaffney. Gaffney is a number two wide receiver. We haven't mentioned him, but he's been steady.
Yeah, I think I saw him pop up in the injury report today, maybe.
Did he?
I don't remember exactly what I saw, but you got to monitor that. But you're right. You're right. Gaffney's been pretty good.
You know, it's painful that with all of the injuries, we have to resort to these just kind of secondhand guys, but it should be interesting.
All right, Mikey,
you're
the man.
Guys.
I'll see you soon.
Take care. Congrats on your fantasy success.
Yeah, for this week, I'm lying low. No effect on.
Build
next
up for the playoffs.
Get after it though.
There you go.
Thanks,
Mike. Talking to you. Good luck this week. Poker Mike joining us here with always good insight. Yeah, it's just to me. I look at all these matchups as I was saying. I just see. I would take the under at every single game. Yeah. I think if you're relying, this is going to be a running back heavy day. I think unless. Some of these quarterbacks break out. Even some of the good quarterbacks, I don't like the matchup on the second tier quarterbacks, forget it. Unless there's tons of turnovers and you're getting points from a short field perspective, I just don't see a lot of points this week in the whole league.
Yeah, no, it's a good observation. And it's, they're going down. And we were talking about Leinart. I really, really, really did think Leinart had a chance to be a steady,
I'm not a fan of his at all.
But I think the opportunity.
I know, too small a state. Can't judge him on what I mean.
Right,
obviously,
but,
it's
unfortunate. But I think the factors were all in play. He had Andre Johnson coming back, so you have a great wide receiver. You have one of the best running
backs.
Took him
three quarters to catch a ball.
I know. And that was his first game back.
Yeah, I know.
But you have a running game that's really successful, two workhorses. You've got a defense that is one of the best in the league. And Leinart, he's now, 6-7 years in the league. 2 years now with the Texans, he should be up on the playbook, and we still won't know, but I had a feeling that he was humbled.
Yeah.
Humbled by what happened in Arizona, came in, put his head down, worked hard in Houston, getting this opportunity, I thought he was going to be successful, and we'll never know. He gets hurt in, you know, in the first half. I thought he was going to be successful, maybe even successful enough to pick up in fantasy. I was disappointed that we weren't going to see what he was made of.
A couple more emails, and then Brian will get out of here for this weekly segment. But Russell on my Facebook page says, also a fantasy football question for Brian. In my fantasy playoffs this week, my starting receivers are Santonio Holmes, Bolden, Reggie Wayne. However, I have Jason Avant on the bench, and considering on starting him instead of Reggie, both got me 25 points last week, so I am undecided. Your thoughts?
I'd go with Avant.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go with Avant. Put Avant in tonight. Like I said, I think Vince Young will pass the ball quite a bit, because it just seems like, even though LeSean McCoy now is expected to play and start, I do think they're going to be throwing the ball quite a bit. Jeremy Maclin is out. Avant has, you know, he did have the most targets for them last week. He caught a touchdown. I think you just have a higher percentage chance of getting production out of Avant mm-hmm. than you do Reggie Wayne on Sunday with Dan Orlovsky throwing the ball.
You're going to have to punch up the because my thing went dead. So if you, you want to email us, webradio@patriots.com. Or Kevin's going to have to come in and reset my set. But you have the,
we do
you have the
one,
power as
yep,
well. Yeah,
we do have one that we hadn't gotten to, mm-hmm. and this is from Tony, who I think we had already had a question from Tony earlier, but this time he says...
It's a follow-up,
Yep, sorry if you covered these. Do we think it's a week to start law firm? And is McCoy in the lineup tonight? Would you still recommend starting him despite the injury? As far as law firm, yes, I do.
I love him this week.
I love him
this week.
For a few different reasons. Mm-hmm. You can run against the Colts. The Colts defense mm-hmm. is dreadful. You have to figure the Patriots are not going to just have to throw the ball a ton. Although, you can't put it past them to just keep the pedal on the metal, and just keep it going. But, you know, he had two touchdowns last week. I think he's a good touchdown play. We've been talking about McCoy, Tony. McCoy is expected to start. I do recommend starting him because he is LeSean McCoy, and if he's playing, it's LeSean McCoy. He's a do-it-all. Other than last week, he's a huge production guy. I would definitely start McCoy, and I would definitely start law firm. I'm not sure if you're asking me law firm or McCoy, you know, it's a tough call because of McCoy's injury, but I'd still go McCoy. Finally, last week I went with Julio Jones over Harry Douglas, and I really got screwed. So who do you think this week between the two? Well, there is news on Julio Jones. Hamstring held out of practice again today. Falcons coaches downplayed the injury earlier in the week. You got to monitor that. It's pretty cut and dried. I think you go Jones if he plays. And obviously, if he doesn't play, I think Harry Douglas is a more than suitable guy. You're probably looking at more catches from Harry Douglas, mm-hmm. but Julio Jones is the more of a chance to get a home run threat, get a touchdown. I'd go Jones if both are playing.
To me, the most fascinating game this week, which is a 1 o'clock game, so I probably won't be able to see a lot of it, but the Falcons at Houston to me is going to be fascinating to see how Matt Ryan does and how, and what happens with Houston offensively, what goes on there, because
it's Houston is the number one seed in the AFC right now.
They are.
They are the number one seed. So the question is, do they have a good enough all-around team, and have they built up enough wins to sustain them the rest of the way? And that's a huge question.
It is a
fascinating team.
Vilo, you're the man. Great stuff.
Pete, great stuff this week. That was a good hour.
Yeah,
and,
it was.
And I know what you're saying. It's going to be it might be an ugly week.
Of course, it'll be the highest scoring week
in the
NFL.
It'll end up being the highest scoring
week. I've never seen, because of all the injuries, I've just looked at the slate of games a couple hours ago, and I'm looking, I'm like, who's going to score a point? Yeah. Can you imagine Chicago, Kansas City with that game? Could potentially be. Now, again, what we don't factor in sometimes is bad quarterback play can also lead to some points because you're playing from short field because of dumb turnovers or who knows, pick sixes and all that kind of stuff. That can come into play. But, you know, taking all that out a little bit, I just don't see a lot of points being scored this week in this league.
Yeah, there's some ugly matchups. And if we start getting into some weather games, then that's a factor
mm-hmm.
too soon.
Yeah. All right, Bill, we'll see you next Thursday.
Hey, enjoy the rest of the hour. Enjoy the next hour and enjoy the rest of the
1 o'clock game.
All righty. Sure will.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to get into more into the Patriots Colts a little bit. And then I have a little gripe I have to make about the press conference yesterday, to be honest with you. I have to do this because I think it was unfair what happened on Fox 25 last night. I think Kristen Leahy, after analyzing it and watching her telecast last night, for those of you who didn't see it, I stayed up extra, got home late, I watched Fox again, and I wasn't happy with what I saw last night. I wasn't happy with the production value of what I saw, and I thought it painted Coach Belichick in a very bad light because of what was because of perception and reality. And I'll go into more in-depth detail about that coming up after the 5 o'clock hour. And I'll tell you why this kind of reporting pisses me off to no end. And she's not the first one to do it around here, but the way it was presented last night, I think it sucks. I'll have more on that coming up, and we'll get into the Patriots and Colts. And also, we will have, what else do we have? We have, from the Terry Hart Tribune, the Colts beat writer, Tom James will join us at 5:30. But all that stuff coming up next. Of course, your phone calls, hotline, the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, webradio at patriots.com, and Facebook me as well. We're back after this on patriots.com.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pabs! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pabs!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pabs!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey guys, pumpkin coffee is back at Dunkin' Donuts.
Awesome. But what's with the guy behind you playing the timpani drum?
It's a big deal. Dunkin's pumpkin coffee is back for fall.
So you hired him to play every time you say pumpkin coffee?
And when I say something smart in a meeting.
This is big. Pumpkin is back at Dunkin' Donuts. Hurry in for a hot or iced pumpkin coffee before it's gone. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Guys, I think the lady at Dunkin' Donuts is totally into me.
Why is that?
She made a delicious chicken salad sandwich just for me with celery and herbs on an oven-toasted croissant.
Yeah, they definitely do that for everyone.
Can I just enjoy this moment with Dunkin' Chicken Salad Woman in my heart?
Hurry in for Dunkin's new Bakery Fresh Chicken and Tuna Salad Sandwiches. They're hand-built just for you. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature,
right? Right. No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun. With free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
This is the Pete Shepherd Show on Patriots.com Radio. Want to talk to Pete? Call him on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Pete the Meat Shepherd.
Hey, welcome back to hour number two of the Pete Shepherd Show here until 6 o'clock tonight on Patriots.com. Final show for the week. And again, we're doing it live from our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette. Email me, webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, and Facebook me as well. I'll get you to get into why I was so upset about the Patriots press conference, and it really kind of struck me on the way home last night. I started to get more upset about it on the way home. And then when I rewatched the Fox 25 sports last night, whatever that was, I mean, 45 seconds or a minute, whatever they do, I was more incensed by what was presented, what was actually said, how it was perceived, what was presented. And I'm telling you, it pisses me off. And it's not just because it's Kristen Leahy. And please don't give me this BS about she's a woman, she's young, doesn't know any better. But because if this was a guy, I'd be saying the same thing. I don't care if this was Borges, I'd be saying the same thing. If this was a Shaughnessy, I'd be saying the same thing. You're in that locker room every day. You're asking questions. You are subject to public scrutiny just like anybody else. It's not personal. This, to me, is about professionalism. And look, I'll get into it in a few minutes, but I'm angry as hell about what happened last night. And to me, the only reason, to be honest with you, the only reason why it hasn't gotten more attention, maybe it's because she is a young woman who hasn't been in the business all that long. Which I find unfortunate, because the hypocrisy is, if this was a young man in this business who hadn't been in this long, I think it was, this would have been blown out of proportion. I mean, this would have been talked about a lot more. I just don't like the way, I do not like what happened in that locker room yesterday. And I don't like what happened. I don't like, the question was fine when I give you the actual, what really happened and how it was presented last night on television. In case you didn't see it, maybe you'll understand my point. But I just can't let anybody get away with this kind of stuff. And this is where the media critics and I don't understand. They come out and criticize so many people for so many different things, and this one gets like swept under the rug, which I just think this was a major, major violation of ethics in the media. And I'll get to it in just a little bit. But first, we're going to get to Eldridge in North Carolina. He's up next here on the Pete Shepard Show. Hey, Eldridge, how are you?
Fine, Pete. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I'm just wondering about this game coming up Sunday. Are you worried about it?
No.
Think it's just going to blow out?
No. I think, Eldridge, this is one of those games where do I think they're going to win 50-0? No. I think it's probably going to be. I'll give them my scores and stuff, but it's probably going to be something like 33-14, something like that, 33-17, maybe 37-14. I really don't see any problems here in this game. I really don't. And I think Bill Belichick is drilling it into these guys' heads about what to expect. Now, you saw the slow start they had against Kansas City a couple of weeks ago, but in the end, you know, they blew them out by 31. So I just think it's going
to
be.
But Indy got a better defense than Kansas City, but they don't have the better quarterback.
Well, they have no quarterback. I mean,
but
yeah.
But they got, like I said, they got the defense, they can pressure Brady, and the Colts always had played is kind of tough. I know there was Peyton leading it,
mm-hmm.
but I think this might be a trap game.
This is not a trap game. I mean, the problem is if they win this game by 10, people are going to be upset. If they win the game by 50, people are going to say, that's what they were supposed to do. So I think the truth would lie somewhere in between. But I agree with you. They have some players. I mean, there's no question. Belichick has pointed out this week about some of the players. So some people in that locker room, some of the reporters who asked questions yesterday obviously don't realize some of the players on this defense. And that's why I agree with Belichick completely and any other coach. I never look at records as far as how they're going to play against each other. The fact that they're 0-11 to me is irrelevant because I know that they do have some players on defense that you're right that can cause some disruption, and they have played teams like Pittsburgh tough, Tampa Bay, and some others. They really should have beaten the Steelers, to be honest with you. Remember that game? I think it was a Sunday night game. They really should have won that game. So I think the Patriots are well aware of what Indianapolis could do to them defensively for a couple of plays. The secondary is awful. Let's be honest. I mean, Indy's secondary is just terrible. But I just don't think they're going to take them for granted. I think they will cover the number at 20, but I don't think they're going to win 50-0.
Okay, talking about our secondary. I've seen that we picked up Nate Jones.
Yes.
Do that make any sense to you instead of what we heard in the safeties? Well, if they let Adams go,
mm-hmm.
we should have got Jared Page instead of Minnesota got him.
Well, I know. I talked about Jared Page a couple of weeks ago when, because he had played here before and he played pretty well here a couple of years ago until he got hurt. But that was a little surprising. I thought they might bring him in for workout. And the other thing, maybe not, believe it or not, Eldridge, is that I think they're pretty high on Edelman right now, at least again for this week against this team, at this quarterback anyway. So they may make a move or two down the road, but I think Bill likes what he sees in Edelman out there at defensive back.
Okay. One more question, and we'll let you go.
Sure.
Anybody know what's up with Price and Chad Ochocinco, and Spring?
I get this question every single day. I wish I had a definitive answer or could tell you what the hell is going on. Now, I've heard from Belichick. We've heard from Bill O'Brien, the offensive coordinator, about both of these guys. Looking at the injury report again this week, I mean, Ochocinco was limited today. Price was limited today as well. I don't know what to tell you. What I'm hearing is the perception is they both are not getting the playbook for whatever reason. They're just not getting it. And Ocho seemed to be getting it. You know, we made that big catch a couple weeks ago, but then he got hurt. So I don't know. These guys are wild cards. I wish I had some kind of answer or philosophy or anything to tell you about. I have no idea because I can't see these guys practice every day. Nobody can. And I just don't know what they're capable of. And obviously, if they were healthy and ready to go and could play a lot and were getting the playbook, they would be targeted more and it would take a lot of stress off of Brady with that vertical game. But it's not the case right now. So I don't know what to tell you.
Is that T.O. a rumor, too? I heard that last.
Yeah, TMZ has got a story out there that that T.O. has been practicing in California, and he's been quoted as saying he's ready to, you know, he wants to be with the Patriots for their playoff run here. I've just learned never to say never 100% in sports because anything can happen. I still would be somewhat surprised, but not completely shocked. I just thought right now it's a TMZ thing, and, you know, they have broken stories before, but I'm not putting a lot of stock in a tabloid website right now.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. I would appreciate it. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398, 508-298-0398. Here's Carl in Montreal. Carl.
Hey, what's up, Pete, man?
Hey, how are you, my friend?
Great. As always, I enjoyed the game on Sunday. You know, those first two drives with those huge pass plays, you know, at that point it didn't look too great. But as soon as we got that long drive and made it 10-7, you know, we always start with the ball in the second half.
Yep.
And, you know what the season's going to come down to? And it's, you know, you could never say one thing, but it's going to come down to the O-line protecting Tom Brady. And specifically when they play those beasts in Baltimore, whether they're going to be playing in New England or Baltimore, we still don't know. But, I mean, when you're going up against Terrell Suggs and Haloti Ngata, I mean, you better be damn sure Matt Light and whether it's Copen Wendell or
Connolly.
Connolly better be ready for those boys because, you know, I mean, our defense is playing good, but we're not a great defense. We're improving. But, I mean, for us to win, we got to get in the mid to high 20s to win against those types of teams like Pittsburgh and Baltimore in the playoffs. And it only happens if Brady has time. So, I mean, I think it's going to be
I'm not surprised last week because Connolly was hurt and Wendell, I mean, you had to figure, and people seem to not realize how important the center position is, on a football team. You are responsible for calling out matchups and a lot of different things. And I kind of figured early on they might struggle a little bit. Because you know you're down to your third string center, which is unheard of in a lot of. And after that first couple of series, he did okay. I mean, I thought they did pretty well. Second half, Brady had tons of time, to throw the ball, but not surprised early on. And I give Wendell credit. He made some pretty good adjustments. I thought the offensive line did as a whole after those first two series. That's tough with a third string center in there. Go ask the Jets how their third string center did when he played.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping last year we missed it by one pick that the Patriots were going to draft Pouncey, and Pittsburgh ended up taking him.
Yeah.
But then we wouldn't have got our first-round pick turned out to be McCourty.
That's right, yep.
So, you know what, we need a corner more than we need a center. Because for the most part, I mean, the line, I don't know, at the beginning of games, the Patriots would get a touchdown every first drive of the game.
Yeah.
And now it's like it takes them one or two series to get into their rhythm.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to see that when they start running the ball, and again, the big reason why, you know, that play action, I mean, they started running the ball right at Philadelphia, and it worked. I mean, Ben Jarvis didn't seem like overwhelming numbers, but he had some really significant rushes early on in that game that really helped take some of the heat off the offensive line and allowed Brady to establish that play action and some other, you know, different routes the receivers ran because the threat of Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. So even the numbers may have not looked overwhelming, but they made a difference.
Yeah. Now, the other thing, I know I'm going to be stealing a bit of Tyrone's thunder here, is, you know, the fact that I looked at the pass chart last week and we only completed to Welker and Branch and to Gronkowski and Hernandez.
Yep.
And it's just a little scary when you think about when you're playing great teams. I think you have to have more than four guys catching the ball. I mean, we got to get, you know, they could obviously dump it off to Woodhead or to Ben Jarvis. But, I mean, yeah, we definitely need a couple catches just to keep the defenses honest.
Yep.
You know, either to Taylor Price, Chad Ochocinco. I don't think Terrell Owens is coming here. I don't think that kind of a guy in this locker room is what we need.
Well, you know, but we've said that before about other people, you know. And I certainly, is one thing about Terrell Owens I would never question is work ethic.
Definitely not.
I definitely wouldn't question that. And as far as him being in shape, I wouldn't question that either. It's just a question is if he still has the skills to help out a team. And I don't know. Maybe he does. I'd be very surprised. But like I said, not necessarily, you know, blown away or shocked by it anymore. There's too much crazy things that happen in sports. I never say never 100% anymore.
Yeah. And the other one last thing, Pete, I'm going to make is, you know what? What's going to be huge for this club is to keep having the double edge pass rush on each side of Carter and Mark Anderson.
Yeah.
Because Mark Anderson on the other side is really the only, I mean, when Dedrick's in and when Cunningham's in, they don't get much of a rush. Anderson's the only guy on third downs or on second downs that comes in and really, you know, picks up those sacks, picks up those pressures. So, you know what, Sean Ellis is going to have to swallow his ego because I don't see him getting on the field unless there's an injury, you know, coming up. I hope not during the next 5 weeks heading into the playoffs.
All right, Carl. Great call as always.
All right, buddy. Be good, man.
You too. Enjoy the game. Take care. That's our buddy Carl in Montreal. Again, email us at webradio@patriots.com. Call me on the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. That is the number. Again, coming up, Tom James, a Colts beat writer for Terry Hawk Tribune, coming up at the bottom of the hour. I just want to get into this real quick. And, you know, I really don't give a crap if people think I'm piling on or I'm picking on somebody. I don't give a damn because, it's like I said, and I don't care what skill level you think this person is at, or they shouldn't be in the locker room, or they should be in the locker room, whatever. The fact is she is in the locker room. She's asking questions. Let me just give you a little take on Kristen Leahy about what happened yesterday, okay? Now, in case you missed the press conference, it was pretty boring, be honest with you, until the last 15 minutes. And one question asked by one reporter, and not by Kristen Leahy from Fox 25, one reporter asked this question. This is about 5 minutes before she asked her. It says, how do you measure how much you have improved week to week when you're playing against teams that maybe are not improving week to week? And Bill simply says, quote, it's simple. We judge ourselves on our performance. Go out there and things that we do that we do well, and things we don't do well, we need to improve on. I don't know how else to put it. And then the reporter, and then another question goes on to say about the Colts' offensive line and Ryan Wendell and this, that, and the other thing. Now, a few minutes later, on that same category about playing teams with bad records, Kristen comes on and says, question. The question is, and we have that, Kevin?
Unfortunately, I can't load it.
You can't load it? Okay, well, I'm going to quote it to you. We have it right off the transcript word for word. This is the question. I know you're saying that the record doesn't matter, but you obviously can gauge your team's performance better against a team that is more competitive or has a better record. And the big mistake there, number one, is saying, obviously you can gauge your team's performance better against a team that has more competitive or has a better record. And Bill, of course, you know, remember, or I'm sure you remember what he said yesterday. He's like, I don't agree with that. You can go ahead on your soliloquy, but I just don't agree with that. You don't think you can gauge a team based on how a player blocks Dwight Freeney or Robert Mathis. Who else would you gauge it against? Are you kidding me? Covering Reggie Wayne and Austin Colley and Pierre Garçon, and you don't think you can gauge your coverage based on those players? I don't care what the record is. You think there are better receivers around than them, better pass rushers than Freeney and Mathis? I'm not sure what games you're watching here. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. And to me, it's about someone obviously not being prepared enough or not knowing enough about the guys that are on defense. Plain and simple. Sorry, but that's the ugly truth. I'm saying it. I mean, that's the problem. That's what the problem is. And it's not just you, Kristen, because I know you're young and whatever, up and coming, whatever freaking adjectives you want to use to describe yourself. But then to go on Fox 25 last night and make yourself the story, and this is exactly what you said last night before you went on with this report. And the problem, this is a real problem I have with this. And this is transcribed word for word. I did it this morning because I taped it last night around 10 minutes or two. This is how Kristen started her sports thought when Åkerblom threw it to her. Obviously, it was tape, and she was here at Gillette. Quote, the Patriots are about to play a Peyton Manningless 0-11 Colts team this weekend, but still Coach Belichick went on and on about records, how records don't matter. Well, sure they do. Do you really think he's going to be as happy after a win this week as he was when he came off the field beating the Jets a few weeks ago? No. I asked him that exact question, and he didn't like it at all. But I'm willing to bet you it's exactly what he's telling the players behind the scenes. You have got to be kidding me. You have got to be kidding me. First of all, in that people did not see the press conference yesterday on Comcast or didn't hear it on this show, and you just made that opening statement, which a lot of viewers are not diehards watching sports anymore at 11 o'clock, you know, the replay or even sports in general on 4, 5, 7, 25 because you've got so many other outlets. But to make that statement right there, is a complete lie. Because you don't even have the question in there that you asked. You said, I asked him that exact question and he didn't like it at all. Now, before that, here's what you say. The Patriots are about to play a Peyton Manningless 0-11 Colts team this weekend, but still Coach Belichick went on and on about how records don't matter. Well, sure they do. Do you really think he's going to be as happy after a win this week as he was when he came off the field beating the Jets a few weeks ago? No. I asked him that exact question, and he didn't like it at all. Now, where in that statement previously is the question that you asked? So what they did was, what Fox 25 did last night, which was a big mistake, her last point was, she goes, but I'm willing to bet you it's exactly what he's telling the players behind the scenes. From that point, They cut right to Belichick, and they got Belichick, you know, reading the quote I just told you what he said to her about, I don't agree with that. You can go on ahead with your soliloquy, blah, blah, blah. And at the end he says, and rightly so, I'm not sure what games you're watching, which I guarantee you, was fine. I have no problem with that. So what happens is, not only does Fox not show her asking the question at the press conference yesterday, which was very easy to do, they should have ran the audio of her at the bare minimum of her asking the question to Coach Belichick. You don't just come on and make a false statement like she did in her sportscast and then cut to Belichick kind of, reaming her out a little bit. Okay? That would totally, totally unfair. It happens all the time, and you're not the only one that does it. There are other outlets that do it like this, and I'm telling you, it's wrong. It's not right. And I don't care how many years you've been in the business or where you think you are, where you're going to be, what color you are, if you're male, female, black, white, pink, orange, green. I don't give a damn. The way that was presented last night was just awful. Awful. And yeah, I know there's greater tragedies in life, but I mean, again, that's not a personal thing with me. It's just professional. But that is such, and you made yourself a reporter, which is the worst thing you can do is make yourself the story, before game day. You make the reporter the story and not the story. Well, you have to realize, and that's exactly what she did. She tried to make herself the story because Belichick showed some emotion and reamed her out. Period. And the best part was when he said, I'm not sure what games you're watching here. And I think he's absolutely right. He is absolutely right. But the way it was presented, I can't believe that Fox, I don't know who's in charge of production over there, but man, you guys blew this one. You should have had her question. And it was very easy. Could have taken it off Comcast very easily. It's done all the time. And you should have had shown it, her asking the question, or at least have the audio there and his response. Not just have her come on and say some false statement about, I asked him that exact same question. No, you didn't ask the exact same question. You did not ask him the exact same question. I'm not, in your opening statement to your sportscast last night, you didn't even field the question. And the best part at the end is, which to me, this sounds, it's childish, this part, is when she says, I asked him that exact same question, and he didn't like it at all. And then goes on to say, but I'm willing to bet you it's exactly what he's telling the players behind the scenes. That is the biggest bunch of bunk I have ever heard in a long, long time. Then obviously you have no idea what you're talking about if that is what you're thinking. And that is what you're presenting to the public. Embarrassing. Embarrassing. No two ways around it. Then you have no idea what NFL coaches or major or most coaches will are thinking. They don't give a crap about records. And if you don't think that there are some defensive players on the Colts that maybe be able to cause disruption, and you have obviously not gone back and done your homework and seen how close some of these games were against some pretty good teams, then you don't get it. And I'm not surprised, Kristen, because you're not the only one in there that's like that. But I got to tell you, it's a hell of a lot better off here now than it was before. And I think people here, if you don't do your homework in this business, you are going to get stomped on. You can't come out and make statements and ask questions like almost in absolutes, like when you say, I know you're saying that the record doesn't matter, but you obviously can gauge your team's performance better against a team that is more competitive or has a better record. And then Belichick said I don't agree with that. So you can go right ahead and write your soliloquy, but I just don't agree with that. You don't think you can gauge your team based on how players block Dwight Freeney, Robert Mathis. Who else would you gauge it against? Are you kidding me? Covering Reggie Wayne, Austin Colley, Pierre Garçon. I don't think you can gauge coverage based on those plays. Now, then afterwards in the report, she goes on to talk about the game against Cleveland last year, which was irrelevant because that was in Week 8, and then went on to talk about some other game that was Miami, when the Wildcat game. That was another game that was like Week 2. That was irrelevant like 3 years ago. Another irrelevant sighting. But it was absolutely, I thought, unfair. It wasn't presented right, and if you saw that newscast, that sportscast on Fox 25 last night, and she made it about her being the story, and basically, she just did not present it the way She would have liked it. She said one thing, and they showed another. But I am just stunned when she says in her opening statement about, I asked him that exact question, and he didn't like it at all. Now, if you watched the press conference earlier today, you'd know what she was talking about. But if you didn't, and you just heard her say that opening statement, you would have no idea what she's talking about. No idea. Because before that, like I said, one of the reporters said, how do you measure how much you have improved week to week when you're playing against teams that maybe are not improving week to week? Okay, fair. It's simple. We judge ourselves on our performance, Bill says. Go out there and things that we do well, and things we don't do well. We need to improve on. I don't know how else to put it. So then a few minutes go by, and then Kristen asks her question. I know you're saying the record doesn't matter, but you obviously can gauge your team's performance better against a team that is more competitive or has a better record. That is just the cardinal sin when talking to a professional football coach. Major Division I or NFL. And I'm telling you, it's not just Bill Belichick. It is any coach in this league would have probably given you the same answer. Anybody would have given you the same answer. I'm just totally, you know, when I thought about it on getting out of here, and when I watched it last night, I watched it on purpose because I could not believe what I was seeing. And I don't understand at the very least why Fox 25 last night did not at least have the audio of her asking the question. I don't get it. Because the way she presented it at the top of her newscast, sportscast, and the way they cut to Belichick just reaming her out, I thought was unfair. Because she says in her statement, that's the exact question, and he didn't like it at all. Meaning, like, she's going to, you know, she's going to be the story. You got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. All right, I'm off my soapbox now. But, you know, goddamn it, I'm right. And I'm not going to back down. And like I said, I wonder where are all the media critics now after this one? Because I'm telling you, if that was Borges or if that was Shaughnessy or if that was Bob Ryan or if that was Karen or anybody else around that's been doing this for a long time had done something like that or a TV reporter that made themselves a story, if that was like Neumeier or LaBelle back in the day or, you know, Lynchy or whoever, I'm telling you, they would have got their asses reamed out already up and down by all the media critics out there who seem to jump on some of the most preposterous things sometimes and not focus on some of the real issues. And to me, this is something that should be talked about a little bit, about how perception and reality kind of clash here with some sports reporters. All right. Having said all that, going to head back to the 8-second hotline right now and check in with Tom James, who is the Colts beat writer for the Terry Holt Tribune, joining me here on the Pete Shepard Show. Hi, Tom. How are you, my friend?
Pretty good. You sounded pretty fired up there.
Yeah, well, you know, there's certain journalistic integrity things that happen that really piss me off from time to time. And, you know, nobody talks about it because, you know, for a variety of reasons. But I was angry at the way something was presented last night on television. That was not necessarily the truth. However, that being said, let me thank you for joining me, by the way.
Anytime.
Wanted to ask you, first of all, about I know Peyton Manning had gone in for some tests and about thinking about a fusion of his neck vertebrae. And what's the next step in his rehab? And do you know anything new to tell us?
Well, he had hoped to tell us today. He had tests done yesterday. And part of the problem is that some of his doctors are here in Indianapolis, and he had the surgery performed in California. So from what we understand, doctors in California still have to look at the x-rays that were done yesterday. They hope to know more this afternoon. He wanted to talk about it today during the media availability, but the test results weren't back yet. So right now we're hoping to know more. He'll talk to us tomorrow and give us an update and kind of see where he's at.
Well, I got to tell you, Peyton Manning, no Peyton Manning. I have to be honest with you. I think most of the country still is quite stunned that this Indianapolis team, even though they've had some close calls to winning games, is still 0-11. When Peyton went down, did you think this team would be 0-11 at this point?
0-11, no. I thought that, you know, the losing season, yeah, very much in a possibility the way the team was constructed. But 0-11, no. You know, they've lost some blowouts, a couple, but, mm-hmm. They've also lost a bunch of, you know, some games that really
Could have won.
Could have won. Mm-hmm. Or had a chance to win, put it that way. I don't know if they should have won, but had a chance to win, and they couldn't pull it out. So, and they're just making silly mistakes and errors and mental errors, physical mistakes, and it's just it's quite a change from what we're used to seeing around here.
Well, certainly, and it's certainly not going to be the same around here on Sunday afternoon without Peyton Manning here. We always look forward. This is the ninth straight year, I believe, they played, and it's usually they're all usually very, very good games, with the exception of one or two. But the what I think is interesting all week, and I'm sure you've heard, Bill Belichick is treating this game like they are playing the Green Bay Packers, and I think that's the right approach, that Lou Holtz approach where you're playing Navy when they're 0-9, you know, whatever. And he is drilling it, and so is Brady, drilling it into these guys' heads this week that you cannot take anybody for granted in this league. We've seen it too many times.
Well, I think you're right. I mean, we talked about it over at the Colts Complex this week where back before Manning was a member of the Colts, back in the late 90s, mm-hmm. they played Green Bay at the RCA Dome. The Packers were the defending Super Bowl champions. Colts were big, huge underdogs, and the Colts won the game something like 38-37 in a shootout. So with Paul Justin at quarterback. So you just never know if somebody's going to get hot and something's going to happen. I mean, do we expect that to happen on Sunday? No, we don't. Not with Tom Brady and the way that offense has been clicking. But you never know.
Exactly. But, you know, there still are some, you know, you still look at some of the offensive names out here, and Reggie Wayne and Pierre Garçon, and I still think they're, you know, and I'm not sure what you're going to get out of Orlovsky at all. I don't understand. I mean, I'm not sure how anybody can, you know, pinpoint exactly how well he is going to do, but there's still some named players on this team offensively and defensively that can cause teams' problems if you're not ready.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, the problem, you know, a lot of people around here think, well, maybe Reggie Wayne has lost a step or Dallas Clark, you know, whatever, but, you know, it's just a completely different offense when you've got either Curtis Painter or Kerry Collins or now Dan Orlovsky and they're a quarterback than it is when you have 18 out there, when you have Peyton Manning there. It's just he sees the field better and differently. He knows the system inside and out, and when those guys are together, it's just a completely different offense, and you know, who knows what we're going to see on Sunday with Dan, but he played well in the preseason at times, so you know, we'll see what happens.
Surprised by Coach Caldwell, not only the, you know, the early decisions about Juan Castillo, but just his coaching methods in general. I mean, and the thing, the way I look at it back here, and I was talking to somebody yesterday about it as well, I just have a hard time believing that if Bill Belichick were coaching Indianapolis this year, that they'd be 0-11. We saw Matt Castle here, you know, come with hardly any college experience, come on this team, and it took a little while, but they were playing damn good football at the end of the season. I'm kind of disappointed in Coach Caldwell. I thought he might be a better coach than what I'm seeing, and he's going to share a lot of this responsibility.
Well, I as much as people want to blame Caldwell, and I think he does have some responsibility in it, but I also think it's a systematic problem. It stretches far beyond, you know, Jim Caldwell. You know, I think it's a, you know, problem, how they've drafted and brought in players, with Bill Polian and Chris Polian and, the last few drafts, they've had some busts.
Well, that was my next.
They haven't handled taken over some needs that they've had to take care of, and now they're paying for it.
No, I agree with you. And now, how does Bill Polian overall feel about this? I know he has a weekly radio show, and you know, I've heard quotes, bits and pieces, but this, you know, he has to realize that, you know, he's tried to compare the Patriots franchise and his franchise for a lot of period, but he did not build for depth here, and in the National Football League, you have to do it in this day and age. And I think he blew it in a lot of ways. I don't know if he knows that, but I think it's quite obvious to those of us who follow the game on a regular basis.
Well, you know, if you tell him that, he'd tell you that you don't know the game.
Yeah, of course. We have heard all that crap before.
He's a football guy, and we're not, and that kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, and he has admitted on occasion during his radio shows that they made mistakes with certain players, and those kind of admissions have kind of been few and far between.
How are you feeling about the Andrew Luck situation? And, you know, with Peyton being, and even if he comes back and is able to play, not this year, I don't think he ever will do that, but next year, he's always going to be that you know, he's one, you know, decent hit away from maybe not playing again. So,
yeah.
How do you think this is all going to pan out with Andrew Luck if he ends up coming to the Colts?
Right now, what we're talking about, kind of what we're thinking of is, you know, that if they can keep Peyton Manning, if he's healthy, if they can get him back, and that's what they'll find out here in the next few weeks or months or whatever. The thinking is that they're going to try to keep Peyton Manning for a couple more years, and then draft Andrew Luck and develop him as the understudy, and then go from there. I think that if they can handle that, if they can do that salary cap wise, then that's a very real possibility that they would like to do that. And I know Bill Polian has said that, and Peyton has said that when Peyton signed his new contract before training camp this year, that they've already talked about the future and bringing in another quarterback and developing somebody to take over the helm from Peyton. So it's a very real possibility.
How are the and what's the overall fan perspective down there? Not that any owner or GM should listen to the fans, because you start listening too hard, you become one of them, as the old saying goes. But do they want Andrew Luck here, or do they think that? And I don't think this is possible because of Peyton's character. But I do think it might be in the back of some fans' minds about a possible, you know, Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers type of situation. But again, because of Peyton's makeup, I don't think he'd ever make it be personal like that. But how are fans feeling about the possibility of Andrew coming here next year?
Well, I think they're excited. I mean, they would like to see that transition. I think you have a lot of fans whose emotions are kind of split. They want to see Peyton Manning finish his career in Indianapolis. They want to see him finish as a Colt, but yet with the opportunity to draft somebody like Andrew Luck to kind of be the torchbearer for the next, you know, 15 years or 10 years or whatever, they would love to see that too. And a lot of longtime Colts fans remember how, you know, they could have had John Elway back in the day, and that fell through. So, you know, another Stanford quarterback.
Mm-hmm,
so
yeah.
I think a lot of fans would like to have their cake and eat it too, if that's a possibility.
Well, in your opinion, I mean, I can, you know, put out the stats and all that stuff, but you see this team, you know, every single play, and, you know, we've seen, you know, with the Red Zone channel now, you can see a lot more and highlights on certain cable, but who's having a good year for Indianapolis on both sides of the ball?
Well, I think offensively, I think the running game is better. I mean, even though you're 0-11, and the running game has really been an issue the last, you know, several years for Indianapolis for a lot of reasons, Dye being injured in and out of the lineup, a patchwork offensive line, but that was a point of emphasis in training camp, and the running game has shown some improvement. Donald Brown, the third-year running back from UConn, who has kind of struggled, is starting to really come around now. They've got a rookie running back from Syracuse, DeLon Carter, who's been impressive at times, although he's kind of had a penchant for fumbling the ball here in recent weeks. But so those guys have been impressive. Garcon was sort of the favorite receiver of Curtis Painter, although they got the ball a little bit better to Reggie in the last game. Defensively, you still start with Freeney and Mathis at defensive end, and they've struggled on the defensive line. They have a young middle linebacker, Pat Anger, who's leading the league in tackles, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know if that's how much defense is struggling, but Antoine Bethea, a free safety, still playing very well. They're really hurting at cornerback. Really only one good cornerback, and that's Jerrod Powers, and he's had some injury issues. The other cornerback position has been a revolving door, so it's been an interesting year, to say the least.
Well, certainly, I mean, we know everybody around here has the tremendous amount of respect for Freeney and Mathis. Certainly, I know the team does. I think a lot of fans around here, you know, get it. You get pass rushers like those two guys, they can sometimes, you know, hide and, somewhat, mediocre to poor secondary at times. Certainly, we've seen it around here, the last few weeks when Andre Carter and company and Will Fork and Anderson are getting a pass rush. You can hide some, deficiencies in the secondary. So I think the Patriots are well aware, of, you know, that Freeney and Mathis and can be disruptive.
Well, and they were against Carolina last week. I mean, when you have a quarterback that's as big as mobile as Cam Newton, and he's an impressive player to say the least, he tried to do some of his spin moves, out of getting away from a pass rush, And Freeney and Mathis just ran him down. And Newton said afterwards he was just shocked. He you know, he said those are the best defensive ends he's faced all year. And he was very impressed. And so those guys are, you know, they still have it. It's just a matter of a lot of pieces missing on the rest of the defense.
Well, it should be an interesting game. A lot of people around here are happy just because it's a 1 o'clock game, because people actually get to bed on time for once. It's everything around here is 4:15 or 8 o'clock or 8:30 at night. So it's the first 1 o'clock game. It is unfortunate. It's not going to be the same without Peyton. And I know how close he and Tom had become. Brady was actually talking about it again the last couple of days. I'm not sure people around the country realize what good friends they have become. And it's something that I know he's going to be missed this week. The competition, the competitive nature, not quite Red Sox Yankees, but Brady Manning is nothing better than that in the NFL.
Oh yeah, I agree. It's the premier matchup among quarterbacks in the league, I think. Anyway,
absolutely. All right, Tom, thanks so much, and we'll look forward to talking to you down the road. Hopefully under better circumstances for Indianapolis. But thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sure, anytime.
All right, thanks a lot. That is Tom James, who is the Indianapolis Colts beat writer from Terre Haute Tribune, joining us here on the Pete Shepherd Show. Let me get to some of these emails and stuff, and then I will get to my picks. Last week, 9-7, by the way, in my meat miraculous lock of the week, I actually lost. I picked the Jets. They missed it by about 5 points. So I am now 8-3 on the season, but more about that in a second. Let me get to some of these email messages real quick. Hey guys, sorry if you covered these questions. Oh no, that is a fantasy football question. Angela on Facebook says, I agree with you fully, Pete. You should know what to expect when you ask Coach Belichick a question. He is blunt, and what should not ask the same question twice. She should have listened to your show yesterday. You brought up great points about media and team relations. I don't agree with what Fox did with the story, only a one viewpoint, and I'm happy aired coaches' conferences yesterday so that the real fan could hear what really went on in that room. Yeah, I mean, that's what we do. I mean, that's why I was stunned, to be honest with you, that Fox did not air at least the audio of her question. And unfortunately, she made it herself out to be the story. And at the end, the last part of it was to me, but I'm willing to bet that it's exactly what he's telling the players behind the scenes. I mean, come on. I mean, do you really believe that? Do you seriously believe that? George says on Facebook, I really feel like you've become a broken record lately, and it's not your fault. It seems as though you have to constantly make everyone realize the Pats are 8-3 despite having the worst defense in the league from a yardage standpoint. Okay, I haven't even read this yet, but right there, right off the bat, you're going to lose me about net yards, because, like I've said, it doesn't mean anything. They're 11th right now, and they're nearly 9th in points allowed. And they're probably going to be 7th or 8th by the time the season is over because the quarterbacks are playing. If our defense is so bad, what is Indy's excuse? How about San Diego, who at one point this year was considered to be a major Super Bowl contender? We may have the worst defense on paper, but the only teams with a better record in the NFL are the 49ers and Packers. While we may come off as a prototypical bend but not break defense, I have taken note that we have become significantly more aggressive across the board when comparing to last year. Sure, we don't have that gaudy turnover differential, but we're still making critical plays. Honestly, we are arguably two mistakes away from having been a 10-1 team at this point. The Steelers game is the only game I can say we lost it completely. They had our number. The other two losses could have been easily victories. I'm not going to anoint them Super Bowl champions, but I feel this team, it is very reminiscent of the 2001-04 teams that we had. They didn't have top-notch defenses, but they were scrappers, mainly in 01, when they didn't have any real standout performers. I'm a bigger fan of a collective effort than an individual standout. Philadelphia, anyone? Now, reading that email, does this guy not listen to me? Because, George, I agree with just about everything you said. If that's what I've been preaching, I don't know. Maybe you got the wrong show. Maybe you're thinking about the PFW guys, but George, I'm with you. I've been saying it for weeks. I've been talking about the overreaction of people, you know, during certain weeks of the season, you know, going up against, I'm with you, buddy. Not sure. You might have the wrong guy. Maybe you sent it to the wrong guy, but I'm with you. Go back and listen to some of my podcasts. All right. It is that time once again. Gather the children and the family pets and the goldfish and gather around. Because it is that time, once again, for my miraculous, my Pete Shepherd picks, and my miraculous lock will come at the end. And I'll give all the games starting tonight. I'll give the Patriots second to last, and then I'll give you my miraculous pick of the week as well. And we start with tonight. There is football tonight. National Football League games happening tonight. One, anyway. Philadelphia is on the road at Seattle. I wish I could tell you what to expect in this one. I have no idea. It is tough to analyze two teams that play so up and down. But I'm going to take the Eagles in this one. I mean, call me nuts. Eagles minus three. I'm just going on sheer talent. And McCoy, I think, is going to start. At least, I don't know if he's going to finish, but he's going to start. So I'm just going by sheer talent. And yes, if you went by that, the Eagles probably have only lost one game this year, but instead they've lost seven. But I'm going to take Philadelphia minus three at Seattle because I do think they're a better team, but who knows? That is just a gut reaction for that one. Tennessee is at Buffalo, and the Bills are 1.5-point favorites. Wrong team favorite here in this situation. Sorry. Bills are going downhill fast. Tennessee plus the 1.5. Oh, my goodness. I'll take that one all day, and 7 days or all week and twice on Sunday. Next one we got up. This could be ugly. Tyler Palko and Kansas City are at Chicago, and the Bears are 7-point favorites. I can't pick Tyler Palko, even though they played the Steelers tough last week and only lost by 4 at home. But I'm going to go. Who's quarterback? Haney in Chicago. I'm going to go with the Bears minus 7 here. Haney and the Bears minus 7. They get the job done. Next one up is Pittsburgh. The Steelers are 6.5-point favorites at home against Cincinnati. This one was close a couple of weeks ago when they played. And I expect it to be around a touchdown to 10 points again. But that's enough for me to pick the Steelers, lay the 6.5. I'll take Pittsburgh minus 6.5 there. What I think might be one of the uglier games of the day, Baltimore is on the road, a 6.5-point favorite at Cleveland. I was telling B-Lo before during the fantasy football segment, look out in this one. Baltimore plays crappy against crappy teams. And Cleveland, even though it has pretty good pass defense, lousy run defense, I'm going with the Browns. Not saying they're going to win. But the Browns, plus 6.5, they get the call here. The Jets are minus 3 at Washington. Are you kidding me? Jets shouldn't be favored by any over anybody. You know, no way. Washington plus 3. Watch this. Watch Rex Ryan. This is one of those games at the end where Rex Ryan will have a nervous breakdown. Mark my words, this will be an ugly, ugly win for Washington. They're going to somehow get this job done. You know what? I take Washington outright. Forget the 3. I don't need the 3. Washington wins the game outright. Tough one here. Atlanta is a 2.5-point favorite at Houston. Quarterback issues for the Texans. Matt Ryan on the road. Interesting matchup here, but I got to go with the Falcons here, minus 2.5. This is a tough one. And Patriot fans should be rooting for Matt Ryan and the Falcons anyway. That's not the reason why I'm picking them. I'm just thinking right here. Tough spot. Should be kind of an ugly type of game, but I'm going to take Atlanta by minus the 2.5 in this one. Tampa Bay is home, getting 3. I mean, our 3-point favorite against Carolina. Again, tough call here. I wish I knew if Freeman was going to play or not. Still not sure, but I'm going to take Tampa Bay anyway, minus 3. Something about this game doesn't sit right. It seems obvious. People might say, oh, Carolina, you know, Cam Newton, the offense. I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me. I'm going to take Tampa Bay minus 3. New Orleans is home. They're a 9-point favorite against Detroit. Wow! That's a lot in this game. I will take the Lions in this one plus the 9. Should be a very, very interesting game. New Orleans just doesn't, unless you're playing Indianapolis and win by 55, we'll see. I mean, they just played on Monday night as well, even though they're at home. But this Detroit defense, Detroit, the way they're playing, interesting game. 9 points, way too many, I think. Minnesota is home against Tim Tebow and the Denver Broncos. No, I'm not picking Denver. I won't pick them. You know, if I really thought they would win the game, I'd pick them, but I can't. Although I've been wrong for 4 weeks in a row, but I can't help it if people like North Turner and Phillip Rivers can't coach and quarterback a team with double-digit leads. Like every single team that I picked them against has had double-digit leads. So I'm going to stick with Minnesota minus 1.5 against Denver. San Fran, a 13-point favorite against St. Louis. Yikes! Boy, this has backdoor cover written all over for me. All over it. I'm taking the Rams plus the 13 in that one. Dallas is minus 4.5 at Arizona. Again, another one of those games. I don't trust the Cowboys. Not so fast. They did not look good on Thanksgiving Day. I know Romo's been good in November, undefeated 4-0. But this is one of those games. I'm not saying Dallas is going to lose, but Arizona plus the 4.5. I'll take that number there. Green Bay minus 6.5 at the Giants. Will the real Giants please stand up? I don't know. But I know this. I think Green Bay is going to win by at least double digits here. They win by 10. Tough half. I think the game will be very similar to how the Thanksgiving Day game went with Detroit. And in the end, Green Bay wins comfortably by 10 to 14 points. I'll take Green Bay minus 6.5 there. Monday night game, San Diego is minus 3 at Jacksonville. Wow. I can't sit here. I've taken San Diego like the last 5 weeks, and they burn me. I'm not going to do it. I'm taking Jacksonville plus the 3 at home on Monday night football. No, San Diego is not super anymore. No, they're a stupor. The way that the coach and quarterback are mentally right now, they are just not with it. They are just not with it. I will take Jacksonville, I will bet anybody, I don't care what Mr. Khan says, that team eventually is not staying in Jacksonville. You just can't. I know they have lease issues and they'll try to get out of it, but the guy paid $754 million in cash. I'm sure he can bribe some clerk or somebody else, some politician, to get that team out of there, because you can't stay in Jacksonville. You can't stay in Jacksonville. Now the Patriots are a now 20-point favorite, 20 or 20.5-point favorite, but we have 20 here on the line. I'll take the Patriots. I will lay the 20 and tell you I think the Patriots win 37-14, which is a 23-point win by the Patriots, and they cover. It's one of those games, damned if you do, damned if you don't. But the Patriots will get the job done, and the Colts will be 0-12, and the Patriots will be 9-3. And if Atlanta can beat Houston, the Patriots then will take back over the number one seed in the AFC. And now it's time.
And now it's time for Pete the Meat Shepherd's Monster Lock of the Week.
Tough one last week. I'm killing myself. I had to take the Jets. I really thought they would play better against the Bills. They ended up winning, but they didn't cover. They won by about 5 or whatever the line. They won by 4. The line was 9. So I fall to 8-3 on the season, which is still pretty good. But this week, I got a doozy for you. I got a great one. Bouncing right back, I got to take the Raiders. The Raiders are plus 3 in Miami. I know the Dolphins have been playing better, but the Raiders are simply a better team. And I think Miami, and there could be some points in this one. Now, don't get me wrong. But in the end, I think Oakland wins this game comfortably by double digits. Comfortably. They'll take over in the second half. So Oakland plus 3 at Miami is my monster miraculous pick of the week. I want to thank everybody. Thanks to all the callers and all the emailers, all my guests of this week, including Tom James today, the Colts beat writer from Terry Hill Tribune. Thanks to Kevin Collins for producing all this week, doing a great job as always. Next week, we'll be back on Tuesday talking about the Patriots and the Colts, recapping on Tuesday, then looking ahead to their next game. I'll tell you what, it's going to be an interesting week in the NFL as always. Have a great and safe rest of your Thursday night, everybody. Again, if you have fantasy football, remember, there is a game tonight. The Eagles are at Seattle, so get your teams in. All right, talk to you next Tuesday at 4 p.m. I'm Pete Shepard. Have a great night, everybody. Bye-bye.